did this ferocious determination out there today come from?
The media. Every one of them brought us up.
This is Paper Talk, the Irish Examiner GAA podcast.
Hello there and welcome to Paper Talk, the Irish Examiner's GAA Championship podcast. Well, there's only one show in town this week as Galway and Limerick meet in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship final at Croke Park on Sunday. A little earlier today, we welcomed Anthony Daly and Ger Cunningham to our Irish Examiner studios to discuss the game and indeed to look back on 2018. Now, given the amount of topics that we had to discuss, we've decided to split the podcast in two this week, with a bonus episode appearing a little later in the week. We began with a simple question. Was this the greatest championship ever?
Well, I'd have 95 and 97 column blatantly ahead of all the other ones, but no, look at it. It has been a massive success. You know, I think we all agree that we spoke about it in an earlier podcast, the two of us, that it needs tweaks and the club thing needs to be really looked at. But yeah, from an inter-county point of view and as bringing excitement levels, it has been absolutely incredible. I think we couldn't have asked for more. And if we just get a final now to match what we've had, it will have to go down as possibly the greatest, you know. And if, I suppose, if a Limerick result came up, it would really cap that, wouldn't it? You know, 45 years, you know, since 73 and all the bromance and romance that would bring and everything, you know. But look, they'll have to play really well to beat Galway.
Okay, Ger, same question for you in terms of the championship in 2018. Does it go down as an all-time great in your book? And the other question is, the two teams that are in the final, are they the two best teams in Ireland?
I suppose the first question, Colm, in relation to the best championship, but probably in the context of games that we've had. There's been so many games, like there's been you're in double figures playing matches, and I think that just gives you the opportunity to play to go and see matches. And I was at a club match yesterday. I was talking to a guy who'd be a fanatic follower of all games, and he said he's been to 13 championship matches this year in the hurling championship alone, and he said I've got no bad game. So I think that's a reflection of the season that's gone on. It's been absolutely brilliant. There's been some brilliant matches, replayed extra times and all that. So I think whoever wins on Sunday can certainly claim to have won the fact that there were so many games. It's been an outstanding championship, really. As I say, as Dale said, maybe a few tweaks going forward to change things around. But like the hurling this year has been absolutely outstanding. And regard the two best teams, yeah, I suppose from a Cork perspective, you could be looking at only for an unbelievable bit of skill from Nicky Quaid, I think Cork could be in the final. You know what I mean? So whether Cork, I think, are very close to the two teams that are there. And I think there was nothing between Cork and Limerick. You showed in the first day, the match in the park, there was a draw. After 70 minutes, was a draw again in Croke Park, and we got found out in extra time. So, but I suppose you can't complain with the two teams in the final. I think again, you could make cases for it could be very easy Clare and Cork in the final as well. So I think a lot of teams are very level. There's nothing much between any four or five given teams nowadays. But I suppose you look at Limerick and Galway have come true. And they're there on merit, I suppose, really, to an extent. And, hopefully, as Dilo said, we can finish it off now with a really, really good game.
In terms of Galway, you haven't hit the heights of last year, but they're still in an All-Ireland final. A great sign of a team not to be playing potentially to their best, but still seeing out games.
Yeah, well, Galway have been seen as the last 2 years probably the best team in the country. Like, they probably have the best set of 1 to 15 players that are in the game at the moment. They're very strong all over. They're really good. I think they've played in patches this year. I think they've set their stall out early and that they've got ahead of most teams, and they make it hard for teams to play against them and to catch them. You look at their history. They go early. They make it hard for you, and they try to blitz you early on. But again, they've fallen away in some of the matches, and I think that's what, to me, gives hope for Limerick. That they've come back from they're behind in a lot of matches. I know they've come back really well. They finished well against Cork, finished well against Kilkenny. So that'd be just the fear for me Sunday, that Galway could push the ball early and go for the juggler, because this is their ninth championship match this year. I think Galway, they've played a lot of games, and you're wondering, is the question.
Yeah. Is that a help or a hindrance?
I think it's probably a bit of a hindrance in the context of the games they've played. They've had no time to. They're probably going from game to game now without really training. They're recovering. they're resting, you know, doing a bit of analysis and a bit of tactics. But as regards training, I'm wondering what they're able to do, because they have to go from, you know, the two replays, you know, and now they're into a final with only 2 weeks preparation. It's not an awful lot, and I think, you know, maybe that bit of freshness and a bit of energy that Limerick had by having the extra week to come down off. So a great victory for them over Cork, and the way they won the game, to be in this situation now, they're going in really, really fresh, whereas Galway would have little time to move on from the match against Clare, probably spend 4 or 5 days recovering and then starting to build over the last 10 days. But, you know, nine games a lot, you know, and I think, you know, it just might come against them on Sunday.
Okay, Anthony, you mentioned there a few minutes ago the long wait for Limerick. 1973, we've had the near misses, 94, 96, 2007. You saw it obviously with Clare in 1995, ending a famine. How difficult is it to contain the emotion, the expectation, the hype that Limerick are now in the midst of this week?
Yeah, it was slightly different for us, I suppose, Colm, you know, because Munster was our big thing that we couldn't get through. It was the big monkey on the back, and it was the All-Ireland, if you like, for us, was the Munster final, where I think we'd lost 13 of them up to that one in 95. So really after that, the pressure came off us, if you like. And I've never met a team. Now, some fellas, the final did get to them, no doubt, the occasion, and it wasn't a classic final, like 1-13-8, you know, it doesn't sound like it would win any modern game for you. But it just, for Limerick, they have won Munsters, and it's the All-Ireland that they're badly seeking. So for them, it's that sort of scenario that Clare had. And like, we bricked it so many times, even my team, like, you know, in National League finals, Munster finals, stuff like that, until we finally got over the line, that Munster final, and then we were liberated. But for Limerick, it's different, because it has to be in All-Ireland. And I think, you know, Ger spoke about the preparations of both teams, and it's been different because of the replay for Galway. And the extra week, I'm sure John Kiely would have been absolutely thrilled with it, because, you know, there's so many trimmings to the All-Ireland, you know, in terms of suits and tickets and all that goes with it, and media nights and stuff like that. And they were able to probably get an awful lot out of the way. And I know that they would have gone out, I think, to a day or out to JP's new Ryder Cup course that he's hoping he'll get. And played an old game of golf, I think, the weekend of the replay. And I think JP had a few words with him about handling the situation and not letting supporters or tickets and rubbish get in the way, you know. But I think there is something new about them as well. You can tell from the interviews, you know, the Tom Morrissey interview after the Kilkenny game. There was no carried away, the Shane Dowling interview after the semi-final, you know. And there seems to be just that bit more calmness. And I think the bunch of players themselves are probably used to success, be it Hearty Cup level, you know, minor, getting to minor All-Irelands, winning under-21 All-Irelands, and club as well. The Piercy guys, you know, being very successful at that level, and Kilmallock getting to finals. So there is something different about them in that sense, I feel. And John Kiely, I think, again, and the guys he has around him, like Paul Kinnerk would have been through it all before with Clare at various levels. Guy like Alan Cunningham, great Clare coach. He was my coach with Clare back way back in the mid-noughties. Top guy, Whitney Piercy, Brian Geary, who experienced the low of 97 or 07 and that kind of thing. And so, you know, they have a very solid, I would say, setup, and the players seem very grounded. So
that's one thing, Dalo, but in terms of the Limerick public and their part playing it, do you think that they are approaching this final a bit differently?
I don't think so. I think you can do nothing really about the public, you know, even driving down today, Cullum, you know, now you're shielded a bit with the motorway, I suppose, and the toll bridge, but just coming out there, passing Croom and Benogue and places like that, you know, the colour and the flags, and very reminiscent of 95. And I didn't even go into any of those villages. I might on the way home now for a look. But there's nothing really you can do about that. And I think, you know, that was one of the great things that we sort of tried to do, is embrace all that. And then, you know, really focus on the couple of training sessions, I suppose, the week of the game, really focus on the training, you know, getting our matchups right with Offaly and that kind of thing. And taking it all in. Sean McMahon told me that he drove down through Clarecastle because he'd heard Clarecastle was awash with colour. So he drove down to have a look on the Saturday evening. You know, most people were going to Dublin. I thought that was a great sign of Shawnee as well, that where he was in his head. Do you know, that he was able to go and enjoy it and have a look at it and take it all in. So some lads are, everyone's different. Like, you'll have the lad fidgeting and the lad edgy. And there was a guy alongside me on the bus going in that day, and he kept his curtains closed. And I pulled back his curtain and I said, "Will you look out?" I said, "This is the bus journey we were dreaming of all our lives." Like, and he said, "Leave me alone, Dello." He said, "I do my own thing." And, you know, so it's just, it's not, you know, everyone has their own approach. And if you play well, it was the right approach. If you play poorly, sure, he was all over the shop in the dressing room, you know. So I think they're fairly grounded. I'd have worries for a couple of them that I'd know. I would have worries how they'll handle it. And you know that Galway will handle it okay. A lot of them are playing in their fourth or fifth final, I think. So, yeah, it's a big challenge. But I think they're better prepared. Like, you go back over the finals, I think 94 just happened. They played really well, and Offaly, and I know myself, Offaly can do that to you. 96 was the killer one, the absolute killer one. Wexford down to 14 men. 07, Kilkenny were absolutely at their best, like 07 and 08. They were fantastic. Like, you know, they won 06 and they won 09. Tidy enough games, you know, but 07 and 08, they were devastating, Kilkenny, that's it. So I think they really feel this one is a chance to be nailed, and they're not meeting one of the old big three either. Do you know, they're meeting Galway. I even felt in Clare there was that sense of, although Galway are champions and the best team in the country, that there wasn't a fear of Galway and Clare coming into the semi-final. And even though we went 9 points down twice, we could have snatched it on either day. So I think Limerick will take an awful lot of encouragement from that as well.
What were you like, Ger, back in the day before an All-Ireland final and on the day of an All-Ireland final? I always think, you know, for goalkeepers in particular, the pressure is greater at the best of times. But what it must be like the day of, the biggest day of the hurling year?
I think, as Dalo said, Colm, the biggest thing for me was, you know, getting into a routine. I think you build up your routine as you go along, I suppose. And, you know, I suppose the more you experience the big days, the more you can learn from them, you know. And I think, you know, because I remember starting off playing my first Munster final in 84 against Tipperary. First time I played Tip in the championship. And I remember, I'd grown up with the Cork Tip era of Munster championship matches and all that. And I overdid it. I completely overtrained. Wanted it too much, overthought it, overanalyzed it. And then I was just flat as a pancake on the day of a match. Just, you know, and that happens. And that was a huge learning curve for me to trust what you do, the work that you've done, and to be able to park it and put away the hurley, and then be able to, you know, not to, if you can be ready, and that comes from experience, as you say, to be able to just know how to handle the occasion. And I suppose, as Dalo said, Galway have been down this road before 4 or 5 times, and the big thing for Limerick is the occasion. If they can handle it, and it's another game, so okay, it's a, you know, there's a huge prize at the end of it, but at the end of it, it's another game of hurling. And if their mentality is right, and if they can go in, and if they can perform to the levels that they've performed through the year, I give them a serious chance. But the question is a bit unknown, that we're not sure how they'll handle it, because it's probably the first one for the most of them. But they've been through minors, they've been through under-21s, they've been through Fitzgibbons, they've been through all these kind of situations, club championships and everything. So, you know, if you were to go through their team, they still have a lot of experience. Like, so it's a question of being able to balance it, being able to turn off when you can turn off. And I suppose, you know, they have quite an experienced backroom team with them. But again, at the end of the day, it's about yourself and how you handle it, and about how to be able to deal with it.
Talk to me about that kind of 30 seconds from your first All-Ireland, from leaving the dressing room, running out the tunnel and coming out onto the pitch. The reason I asked that was Michael Deignan was talking on the Sunday game at the weekend and recounted the 95 game against Clare. And he said the roar from the Clare crowd actually spooked Offaly. So, you know, and there was a lot of experienced heads as well, too, in that Offaly team. I'm just wondering, what is it like for a player in a first All-Ireland final coming down that tunnel?
I think the beauty for Limerick now is that the fact they played the semi-final in front of 74,000 people, I think, is a huge plus for them. That, you know, they're going to Croke Park again, but they were there 3 weeks ago, and, you know, it didn't faze them, and they came through it. The final is no different, really, other than it's the last game of the season. And if they can learn from that, not to be overawed by it, You know, they know there's going to be huge Limerick support. Probably they will outnumber, I'd say, Galway on the day. So, like, you know, the support is there for them. So it's not that they're going in a bit and they could be spooked by it, but I think they'll certainly learn from the, you know, the semi-final experience of playing in Croke Park to a full house. So I don't think they'll be overawed by that at all, Colin.
Okay, you mentioned Nicky Quay there a little earlier in our conversation. As a goalkeeper, just explain how difficult that save was against Cork in the semi-final.
I thought it was just an absolutely phenomenal bit of skill to what Nicky showed that day, because, you know, in the last minute of the game, the ball came across. The pass was probably slightly above Shamey's head, that he couldn't. People said, you know, why didn't he bat it in or whatever. I just think he had to take it down and control it. And Nicky would have been going across the goal because the pass had come across the goal. So for him to come across the goal and to come off his left leg back to the right hand side again and to get the timing absolutely bang on to get that flick away, it was a phenomenal bit of skill. He's a former half back himself, and he played a game and he was able to, you know, I suppose the experience of being able to do that. But I just think, you know, I was just watching in Croke Park that day, like the gasps of what it was, because it was a defining moment for me. If Cork got a goal, it was game over, and the fact they came up the field and got the score again, it just kept their momentum going. But I don't think he'll ever again do something as important, or, you know, in the context of a game like that. So I thought it was a phenomenal bit of skill.
Okay, no, Dale, we'll come back to you. You probably know the Limerick lads better than you'd know the Galway lads from your experience with the academy system and everything like that. Very briefly, this Limerick academy, of course, every year when a team gets to an All-Ireland, it's the academy, the nutritionist, the psychologist. Everyone is looking for that one key ingredient. So in a couple of sentences, what has the work been done in Limerick over the last couple of years?
Well, it's gone on longer than the last couple of years, Colm. You know, these guys would be products of I was there for 3 years now. I would have had Kyle Hayes, Peter Casey, Barry Murphy, Shemmy Flanagan. But I didn't have Tom Morrissey or Keane Lynch. They were the year before I came in. That was their last year minor, you know. Jerry Wallace would have had those lads.
But at one stage, so are these lads kind of signposted?
Well, look, I think there was a total sea change there, Colm, you know, after the players' strike up there in 2010, I think. And a few fellas like Joe McKenna and a few got around him, good lads, and they decided, look, are we going to have to build here for the future? And right from under 14, I suppose they come in and they're introduced to strength and conditioning at under 14. Now, they won't be lifting weights at under 14, but they'll be shown how the technique, you know, and how to squat properly and stuff like that. I think it's you know, a lot of people around the country disagree with academies. Michael Dignan, my great friend Michael Dignan, would be, and myself, many's the row we have over a pint on academies. But I always found that with the Limerick one, it was very open, which is the beauty of it. You know, we had lads last year on the minor team. One guy had never been in the academy up along. Someone said to Damien Rail, who was a minor selector with us, that this guy, Owen Sheehan, was playing great stuff for Gary Spillane. They went on to win the minor A in Limerick. And we brought him in and we had a look at him, and he was raw and he was big and strong, but he wound up being picked to play against Clare in the semi-final, but got an appendix the day before, you know. But that was the beauty of it always. Like, if somebody played well in an under 16 game, there was always a mechanism there through the A and B squads in the academy where somebody could pick up the phone. There would be maybe 9 to 10 mentors between the two squads, and all of us, somebody would be able to say, look, Cullum, we led last night. I just think he's improved leaps and bounds, and if he got into the academy, I think he could really make progress and be a right minor in 2 years' time. And that was always there. And he wouldn't be brought in for a trial. He'd be brought in for 6 weeks, good training and a couple of matches, and he'd get a good chance. And I thought that was the beauty of the Limerick system. You could, like I said, Dermot Burns didn't come through the academy, really. Like, you know, didn't make minor, I don't think, his last year. So they've been open that way, and that's the beauty of it. And yet they're still getting the majority of players, like West Limerick, there's even a few lads like that you're
which would be football terms,
correct, really. Like, you know, so that's the beauty of it. A lot of them now, I know this year, like Brian Nix, the Limerick minor footballers from Newcastle West, total football country, he would have, the Limerick minor footballers would have badly wanted Brian, like, but he just picked the hurling, like, because really good at both, and taught the hurlers, I suppose they wound up in a Munster final, so might have got a Munster medal. And that's the sort of thing that's going on a bit now. And the academy, it works in that way, in the sense that the biggest thing was there that the county board conceded Saturdays to the academy, which is obviously a big club day now at underage as well. Like, So there's no club underage fixtures on a Saturday, which is huge, like, because you have that day then to really work on the lads and take your time. You've all this, they book out you well all day Saturday. And then when you get to kind of 15, 16, mostly 16, but now with the minor going to 17, it's all going a bit earlier. But usually with 16, the lads would start the kind of strength and conditioning program. And it's really, I think, I did a preview night up in Oranmore very early in the year. And I remember saying off the stage, Sir Farrell and myself, that I think the team with the team behind them and maybe the years of experience and work will be very close to being at the top here this year in terms of strength and conditioning, avoiding injuries, stuff like that. And, you know, Limerick have hardly had any injuries, really. Peter Casey has come back from a long-term injury. And outside of that, really, I don't think they've had an injury from the start of the campaign that has Declan Hannan had to go off, obviously, against Cork, but he was back for the next game. So I really think it has stood to them, the work that has gone in there over the years, and they're very robust guys. Like, see a guy like Keane Lynch, like, I mean, he doesn't look the biggest man in the world, but the hits he can take and, you know, the agility of the guy and the bangs and move on. And, you know, the Morrissey's typically the same, you know, Peter Kyle Hayes, Gerard Hegarty, you know, they're very robust guys like that. The full back line, they mightn't be the biggest of men, but all three of them would have come through the academy, and they're three teak tough boys, and so it has worked for them, I would say. But look, at until Liam McCarthy goes up O'Connell Street in Limerick, the jury will be out on that one.
Just on the entire academy debate, you're, you know, a great traditional county here like Cork. Where do you stand in it? You know, is it streamlining lads too young? You know, what's happening maybe to the talented 14, 15 year old that maybe hasn't grown enough? Are you kind of losing out on some talents as a result?
Yeah, it's I suppose from a Cork perspective and Cork looking from a Cork point of view, I think, you know, over the years, definitely you can see the likes of Shane Kingston and Mark Coleman and Darragh Fitzgibbon have come through the academy situation. But I think in Cork, really, the what the academy has done is that it's replaced the schools to promote hurling, because it hasn't been done at the schools level. So, you know, we needed something, whether and the debate is out there whether the academy is the right way to go or not, because, you know, you've got some fellas there at 14 or 15 who are getting a bit notions about themselves that they're now on the Cork squad and won't play matches or won't turn up training and that sort of stuff. So provided that the level of training and coaching development is there, and that there's good people are there to coach them and bring them along, I think the big thing is it's not all about winning those inter-county trial matches at 15, 16, 17. It's all about coaching them, you know, developing the players, giving good habits, because you will always have the players who will come through later on. The likes of Dermot Burns or the likes of Seamus Harnedy who came through later. Kids develop at different ages. So it's just one, I suppose, from the getting signed up to be part of an inter-county squad at 14 or 15, you know, that I'm just a bit concerned about that, and also that, you know, maybe the level of coaching that people are getting. But I think we had to do it, Cullum and Cork, because schools were, you know, they weren't doing it. You know, we hadn't been featuring in Harty Cups in any sort, shape or form, where it was different in Limerick. They were competing, they were winning those. So we needed it badly. But I think at this stage, you know, you need to it needs to be looked at and maybe see how you can make it better and how you can improve it. Because it should not be, you know, the be-all and end-all of making the Cork squad at 14 or 15. You know, so it's you know, in principle, I think it's been good, and it was badly wanted, but I think it just replaced the school scenario that was let that fell behind.
Just that was one of the reasons I actually gave it up, Cullum, to be honest with you, was if I was to make one thing, and it was my last report to Joe, and Joe wants to win, he was a winner himself, I suppose. I just felt there was too much emphasis on winning. You know, that's really the one thing I thought I would be very praiseworthy of, the Limerick way they go about it and the openness of it, which was the big thing for me. But the winning thing was, you know, where I thought, you know, at any minor team, you know, on the day we won our second All-Ireland 97, the minors won that day, and we got no minor really out of it. Very little. A couple of them played a small bit. John Redden, I suppose, being the most prominent. But it's not about winning All-Ireland minors. Like, it's about bringing through three or four real quality fellas who have the right attitude to training, to their preparation, and maybe know what it takes to get to the top level. And as Gerard said, like, the Cork guys have, like, I mean, those three are real, they're nearly leaders on the senior team already, like, and that, you know, you've probably Tim O'Mahony to come on the back of that, and one or two more, and last year's minor team were very talented as well. So you know, and look at the under 21s, the way it's going, it looks a foregone conclusion already, like that they'll be collecting it. But Tip might have something to say about it. But it is, like, I do think if you, Cork won a awful lot of those tournaments now, because I used to be bringing Limerick teams and Cork could win them, but Cork nearly would have four teams. You know, they could have a West Cork team, you know, a North Cork team, a City team, and an East Cork team, you know. So Limerick would have maybe two teams, maybe a City team and then maybe a South West team or whatever. So, yeah, I just thought that that was one of the things that I didn't kind of, I know an All-Ireland Minor would be a great thing to win, but I would always feel more important to teach fellas good values and you know, take them aside and talk to them about what they're doing wrong and right and advise them on that.
And our thanks to Anthony Daly and Gerard Cunningham for their time. Now, don't forget, we're back again during the week and we'll be looking ahead to the match itself with the two lads. And don't forget, as always, you can download us on SoundCloud, iTunes and on irishexaminer.com/papertalk. Our thanks to Larry Ryan on production duties, to Ger and to Anthony. And don't forget to log in and join us again later in the week as we look ahead to Galway and Limerick in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship Final.